The NCAA men's basketball tournament starts Thursday, and in workplaces around the country, people are filling out their tournament brackets. These office pools, plus wagering in places like Las Vegas, make this one of the most frenzied weeks of betting in the U.S. Richard Hoffer has written a book called Jackpot Nation, Rambling and Gambling Across Our Landscape of Luck. Hoffer has seen the ups and downs of gambling, not just as a writer, but also as someone who's placed his share of wagers. He's won big, and he's lost big. And after riding that roller coaster, he decided to travel the U.S. to better understand the lure of gambling in this country. And Richard Hoffer joins us now from California. So good to talk to you.
Good. Thank you.
And I guess it's fitting that we actually talk to you today, the day after the NCAA has set the brackets for the upcoming basketball championship. And I understand this is a big month, a great big month for gambling centers and especially Vegas.
Well, these are the high holy days of gambling when the March of Madness comes. This is what it's all about for Las Vegas, and not just Las Vegas, which represents a small portion of what's going on in gambling during this tournament.
Help us understand what does go on in Vegas, because for most of us, gambling is limited to sitting down with a piece of paper and actually just filling in those brackets. Sounds like it's something much more elaborate out there.
Well, you've got maybe eight screens above you in addition to the tote board displaying the lines, and so you're cheering on your own team and trying to root your own interests home, and the fellow next to you has simultaneously is dealing with a whole different set of propositions, so everybody's cheering for different things within the context of this single tournament.
I understand that you can also place wagers on all kinds of things, from the number of free throws to all kinds of percentages and the like.
Oh, good Lord, if any event possible in a game, you can bet on whether it's how many rebounds a certain player will get. It becomes, even the most mundane thing can become exciting, if you have money on it.
You have this very vivid picture that you paint of a group of people, including yourself, watching a game between Illinois and North Carolina with much riding on this. Could you briefly explain how you caught the gambling bug and how you had to climb out of a rather big hole?
Okay. Well, I've been going to Las Vegas for perhaps 25 years, and funny thing about gambling is that your threshold for risk sort of increases. So you find in time, if you have that certain trait of recklessness, you can be at a $500 blackjack table before you know it. And that's where I found myself.
At the lowest moment, how far were you down?
Believe it or not, I lost $50,000, and then I did it again.
And how'd you climb out of that hole?
You know, I'm not sure you do. There's not really a climbing out of that kind of hole. You don't win that money back, generally.
You explore in this journey that you take, this cross-country journey in writing this book, some of the lesser-known gambling centers and enterprises in your book. You stop in a place called West Wendover, Nevada. And if you're not familiar with the geography here, that's right on the border with Utah, a state where the predominant Mormon religion has very strict prohibitions against gambling. And yet the West Wendover that you described is absolutely packed with Utah residents who want to place a wager.
Well, the whole point of that visit was I wanted to discover what impact religion had on this behavior. And the influence was that it kind of pushed it right to the state borders. You can probably influence behavior, but you can't really modify it. If you want to gamble in this country, you'll gamble.
Overall, in taking this journey, I imagine that you were trying to understand something of yourself, but also understand the sort of American psyche when it comes to gambling. What did you learn in the end?
Well, I learned how wired we are to gamble, and then when I thought about it, it didn't surprise me because I think we were descended from people who had a high risk tolerance. I mean, the kind of people who would get on a Mayflower and get in cover wagons and head west or, you know, take the Bears plus six. That's just part of our identity.
How much money are people pumping into the gambling industry, and how does that compare to other industries in America?
We're churning $80 billion in gambling, and this is more than everything we spend on spectator sports, movies, records, any kind of entertainment combined.
You say revenue, amount spent that's second only to fast food purchases.
Yeah, I think we'll catch up, too.
Oh, once they figure out how to create or produce some sort of drive-through gambling operation?
I think once we can take the Bears plus six at a drive-through clown, I think all bets are literally off.
Richard Hoffer has written the book Jackpot Nation, Rambling and Gambling Across the Landscape of Luck. Mr. Hoffer, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.